Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are now listening to hour number two of our Friday morning edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. It is March 30th, 2007, midnight here on the nose in the Central Time Zone. And welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org, or maybe you're listening at franklyspeakingradio.com. I welcome all of you to the program. We're doing some news here this evening. Lots and lots and lots of news. And if you missed the first hour, we were kind of all over the place, but it did sort of make a point. It did lead somewhere. And we're looking at just sort of infringements on civil liberties. We're looking at sort of technological-based problem areas. Now, not problems for the powers that be, problems perhaps for us. But anyway, we just talked about the RFID chip-embedded driver's licenses available in Washington State as of January 2008. That's going to be an optional thing. Of course, you're still paying for it. That's the beauty of it. National ID card, you have to have it, but we're going to find a way to charge you for it, too. Amazing how that works, isn't it? This story came out on Tuesday, and you could find this at the Associated Press. FBI Director Robert Mueller struggled Tuesday to convince skeptical senators that, despite recent abuses, the FBI should retain Patriot Act authority to gather telephone, email, and financial records without a judge's approval. The FBI chief told the Senate Judiciary Committee, quote, "The statute did not cause the errors. The FBI's implementation did," end quote. Oh, well, that's a relief, right? The statute's great, but the FBI screwed it up in the course of doing the fulfilling the duties that the statute allows. But the statute's not wrong. It's the way the FBI did it. And who wants to retain Patriot Act authority to gather telephone, email, and financial records without a judge's approval? The FBI! The FBI, whose implementation of these Patriot Act statutes was incorrect. They were error-filled. They were screwed up. It goes on. Grim-faced and sometimes even looking pained, Mueller testified at the panel's second hearing into a Justice Department's Inspector General's report this month that revealed abuses in the FBI's use of documents called National Security Letters to gather data. Reviewing headquarters files and four of 56 FBI field offices, Inspector General Glenn Fine found 48 violations of law or presidential directives during 2003 to 2005. He estimates that there may be up to 3,000 unidentified or unreported violations throughout the FBI. That's an estimate because, again, he's doing the investigation, so obviously not a thorough investigation. He's estimating that there are unidentified or unreported violations, perhaps up to 3,000. Of course, he'll never know because the more specific they are with their investigation, the more that the abuses will be highlighted, and we just can't have that because then Robert Mueller, the director of the FBI, will be even more uncomfortable in the Dog and Pony Show before senators, explaining, of course, about how this thing does work, we just can't do it. So allow us to continue to not do it well, I guess. Mueller said he had instituted procedures for issuing these letters, saying, quote, "What I did not do and should have done is put in a compliance program to be sure those procedures were followed," end quote. He is now devising a compliance program and has ordered an audit to determine the extent of the problem and to see if any agents should be disciplined. Well, that's a relief, isn't it? He is devising a compliance program here in 2007 for powers and authorities granted to the FBI in 2001. So it's only 6 years off. That's not too bad, right? Said Mueller, quote, "We are committed to demonstrating to the committee, the Congress, and the American people that we will correct the deficiencies." Well, I feel very comforted by this. I'm sure you do as well. Happy news from FBI Director Robert Mueller, and there's more where that came from. Stay with us, my friends. We're back in three with more of our news edition of Frankly Speaking Radio.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. We are talking about this story here from Tuesday, and it is in regards to FBI Director Robert Mueller basically defending why the FBI needs these national security letter authorities to be able to pursue terrorism threats and whatnot. Just goes on and on, right? So Mueller says that he called the letters, quote, an indispensable tool for our conduct of terrorism investigations, end quote, and began listing cases in which the letters were useful, including a plot against the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, of course, if you didn't know that, the defendant in that case, who is now serving 20 years, he advised al-Qaeda, who had contacted him about blowing up the Brooklyn Bridge, that the plot would be futile. So that was really a non-issue. But just like everything else, when you know, the government starts saying we have all these great success stories as far as preventing acts of terrorism on par with or exceeding September 11th. When asked for information, they mostly just backpedal. They cite things that really was not anything to be concerned about. It'd be just like prior to September 11th, somebody just talking out of an orifice that isn't supposed to have words coming out of it, and just detailing about all this, these things are going to do. They have no means to do it, no capacity to do it, but yet at some level, the powers that be have to justify these draconian powers, these authorities that they have. Anyway, Mueller said he had reduced such inaccuracy since learning of the problem in 2005, but noted that the warrant applications are long and contain thousands of facts. Mueller argued against some committee Democrats' suggestions to inject judicial approval into the national security letters process or to limit how far agents can roam beyond actual suspects in seeking records. The committee plans to hear April 17th from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, now struggling to keep his job amid criticism of the FBI abuses in the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. Yes, there's more criticisms about Alberto, which we may get to tonight if we have time also. National security letters, first authorized in 1986, can be used to acquire email, telephone, and travel records and financial information like credit card and bank transactions. In 2001, the Patriot Act eliminated any requirement that the records belonging to someone under suspicion Now an innocent person's records can be obtained if FBI field agents consider them relevant to an ongoing terrorism or spying investigation. Ah, yes. So now you don't actually have to be guilty of anything in order to have your information dug into, which is a perfect reason why you should really make yourself as invisible as possible, as one of our guests has suggested on this program, Grant Hall. Now, if you've missed any interviews I've done with him, we'll have him back on. He's just absolutely brilliant. His information is phenomenal. This one, my friends, is a very, very important story. You can find this at timesunion.com. And just like it always seems to be the case when things happen to come out on the same day, this story came out on the same day that that story did, which is Tuesday. It says, the author of the following article would prefer not to be named, but the law prohibits the disclosure of his or her identity in connection with receipt of a national security letter. The Washington Post, where this article first appeared, confirmed its legitimacy by verifying it with the author's attorney and by reviewing publicly available court documents. Translation, the person who wrote this article was given a national security letter about somebody else. Okay? And you'll understand why they prefer not to be named. It's not a fear issue. It's a legal issue. Here goes the story. The Justice Department's Inspector General revealed on March 9th that the FBI has been systematically abusing one of the most controversial provisions of the USA Patriot Act, the expanded power to issue national security letters. It no doubt surprised most Americans to learn that between 2003 and 2005, the FBI issued more than 140,000 specific demands under this provision, demands issued without a showing of probable cause or prior judicial approval to obtain potentially sensitive information about U.S. citizens and residents. It did not, however, come as any surprise to me. 3 years ago, the author writes, I received a national security letter in my capacity as the president of a small internet access and consulting business. The letter ordered me to provide sensitive information about one of my clients. There was no indication that a judge had reviewed or approved the letter, and it turned out that none had. The letter came with a gag provision that prohibited me from telling anyone, including my client, that the FBI was seeking this information. Based on the context of the demand, a context the FBI still will not let me discuss publicly, I suspected the FBI was abusing its power and that the letter sought information to which the FBI was not entitled. Rather than turn that information over, I contacted lawyers at the ACLU, and in April of 2004, I filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the NSL power, NSL meaning National Security Letter. I never released the information the FBI sought, and last November the FBI decided it no longer needed the information anyway. However, the FBI still has not abandoned the gag order that prevents me from disclosing my experience and concerns with the law or the national security letter that was served on my company. In fact, the government will return to court in the next few weeks to defend the gag orders that are imposed on recipients of these letters. Living under the gag order has been stressful and surreal. Under the threat of criminal prosecution, I must hide all aspects of my involvement in the case, including the mere fact that I received a national security letter from my colleagues, my family, and my friends. When I meet with my attorneys, I cannot tell my girlfriend where I'm going or where I've been. I hide any papers related to the case in a place where she will not look. When clients and friends ask me whether I am the one challenging the constitutionality of the NSL statute, I have no choice but to look them in the eye and lie. Well, that sounds like a fun way to live, doesn't it? So this guy is defending the rights of one of his clients Probably not somebody that he's friends with. He can't tell that guy. He's got a girlfriend who's like, hey, who are you talking to on the phone there, honey? Nobody. What are you hiding under that desk there, honey? Nothing. Nothing's here. What are you talking about? If she finds it and she talks or whatever, he could go to jail, presumably for a very, very long time. But if she doesn't find it and she just suspects that he's disappearing for long periods of time and, she doesn't understand what's going on, maybe she's going to accuse him of cheating and start some fights, And rightly so, perhaps. She's in a relationship with the guy and she's like, you're keeping secrets from me. And he's like, I am, but I can't talk about it because the federal government will throw me in jail. What a wonderful way to live. This guy's not even under suspicion. He just had access to the information that the FBI wanted in the first place. Amazing stuff. He goes on, or perhaps she goes on, but I assume that when he says, I cannot tell my girlfriend, I assume it's a guy. Could be wrong these days. He goes on, I resent being conscripted as a secret informer for the government and being made to mislead those who are close to me, especially because I have doubts about the legitimacy of the underlying investigation. The Inspector General's report makes clear that the NSL gag orders have had even more pernicious effects. Without the gag orders issued on recipients of the letters, it is doubtful the FBI would have been able to abuse the NSL power the way it did. Translation, if they didn't threaten people would be going to jail for this, then we would have heard about this abuse before there was an internal investigation that didn't technically reveal any big information because they're just assumptions, right? Because these things have been unreported. Remember that angle that we just discussed? That these things are unreported. Well, of course they're unreported, because if they are reported, then that person goes to jail. So who knows exactly how big this thing truly is? And that's what this individual is talking about. Some recipients would have spoken out about perceived abuses, and the FBI's actions would have been subject to some degree of public scrutiny. To be sure, not all recipients would have spoken out. The Inspector General's report suggests that large telecom companies have been all too willing to share sensitive data with the agency. In at least one case, a telecom company gave the FBI even more information than it had asked for. But some recipients would have called attention to these abuses, and some abuse would have been deterred. I found it particularly difficult to be silent about my concerns while Congress was debating the reauthorization of the Patriot Act in 2005 and in early 2006. If I had not been under a gag order, I would have contacted members of Congress to discuss my experiences and to advocate changes in the law. So people who have been involved with these types of situations, like this individual writing this article, cannot even talk to their elected representatives about their concerns. The gag order. I can't talk to anybody. They go on. The Inspector General's report confirms that Congress lacked a complete picture of the problem during a critical time, even though the NSL statute requires the director of the FBI to fully inform members of the House and Senate about all requests issued under the statute. The FBI significantly underrepresented the members, the number of NSL requests in 2003, 2004, and 2005, according to the report. I recognize there may sometimes be a need for secrecy in certain national security investigations, but I've now been under a broad gag order for 3 years, and other NSL recipients have been silenced for even longer. At some point, a point we passed long ago, the secrecy itself becomes a threat to our democracy. In the wake of the recent revelations, I believe more strongly than ever that the secrecy surrounding the government's use of the national security letter power is unwarranted and dangerous. I hope Congress will at last recognize the same thing. Bravo. Well-written story, and a very important story. Now, he hopes that Congress will recognize the same thing. Doubtful. It's just like anything else. As long as there's I bear full responsibility, I take full responsibility, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I should have done more, I should have done better, blah, 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 like Robert Mueller was saying there in his painful and uncomfortable question-and-answer period there with senators, they're gonna feel that they chastised him enough publicly to allow them to continue doing what they were going to do anyway. That's really the main thing. So anyway, very important stories, I think, and very important to understand exactly why you should be upset with the Patriot Act. A lot of people said, I'm not a terrorist, didn't affect me. Well, this guy wasn't one either, and he wasn't even under suspicion. However, somebody, one of his clients was, and he did the right thing and stood up for them, and look at how he's been treated. Stay with us. Back in three.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, our all-news program here this evening. All 4 hours we're covering news, and that's mostly because there's so much of it. And really, it's pretty spectacular when you think about it. I've probably gone through about 20 stories or so in the first hour and a half. So obviously, with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds sitting here in front of me, I could conceivably do this for about a year and never interact with a guest or with you guys. I don't like that. But today, again, there's just so much news. It's just building up. So we're going to do this tonight. And if we have time, we'll fit in some phone calls as well. So be aware of our phone number, 800-313-9443, if only because otherwise Thomas will have his tabloids out and he'll be reading about psychics' predictions for 2006, not realizing, of course, that he bought this issue from last year. All right, this one came out on Monday, and you can find it at CNN. It's a story out of London. Here's what it says. Ever felt like you were being watched? With the rise in the number of surveillance cameras on our streets and in our offices, more often than not, you are. But rather than just watching you, the next generation of surveillance cameras will be able to tell if you're up to no good and, developers hope, spot crimes and misdemeanors before they happen. Yay! Pre-crime. Right? Anybody ever see Minority Report, perhaps? This is not quite on that scale, of course, in that movie, which is well, there's a list. I did a news segment on the morning show. It was supposed to be a top 10 list, but it ended up being 15 movies because I've never been good at math. And these 15 movies involve different sorts of technologies, I guess, that we should be cognizant about, because they're being floated out there in the sci-fi realm in the form of movies. And this list is posted on my website there, franklyspeakingradio.com. It's not, there's a list of the movies and sort of a summary of what they're about, but not necessarily inclusive within that list, at least the text on the script or on the list, is why. So maybe you've seen some of them, maybe you have not, but it is worth noting. In Minority Report, they used psychics to predict the future, and based on what the psychics would predict, they would, of course, charge people and punish people for crimes that they had not yet committed, simply because these pre-crime police officers had, you know, stopped the crime before it had happened, but they said, hey, look, regardless, the crime is going to happen. So on and so forth. You can see the problems with this. This program, however, with these smart cameras, will utilize software that can pick up patterns of behavior. So if you, I don't know, and again, we'll read the story and it'll explain it a little more in depth, but it would seem that if they program it with various things, such as somebody who's about to commit a crime of, let's say, robbery, before they pull out their gun, they kind of, let's say, they rock back and forth from left foot to right foot, shifting their weight back and forth. And they do that X number of times, and then they usually pull their gun out. Or they look around left to right this many times before they do something. So it's going to look for those types of patterns, which is not necessarily indicative of crime, last time I checked, but nevertheless, these are computer programs. They have to be doing it in some fashion where there are repeatable, definable patterns and parameters. This is the problem with the future, folks. This is the problem with reliance upon technology as opposed to human beings. But what they say in the story here is that human beings cannot watch multiple security cameras for very long before they become inattentive, which, yeah, everybody gets bored, right? But here's the story. Normally, it says, it is down to the judgment of a security guard watching a bank of monitors to decide if something looks suspicious on one of their screens. However, with an average of over 100 monitors for each security guard to keep an eye on, it is practically an impossible task. There is also the loss in attention that naturally occurs when people are sitting watching screens nonstop. Industry experts suggest that after 12 minutes of continuous video monitoring, an operator will miss up to 45% of screen activity. That rises to up to 95% after 22 minutes. So that means that if you, I don't know, if you are a big business owner perhaps and you have a security guard who's supposed to be watching monitors, that means that you should pay him for approximately 22 minutes of his time, because according to industry experts, he is now 95% inattentive. Makes me feel safe already. So, of course, the solution to this problem is what? Well, turn it all over to machines and computers. Trying to solve the problem of too many monitors and not enough pairs of eyes is Dr. Sergio Velastin of Kingston University in the UK. He has been developing the software with Ipsotech, a UK-based company pioneering the new visual imaging devices. He says, quote, most people do things in a fairly straightforward way and we're able to gain statistical knowledge of what they do. From that, it follows that you can raise an alarm if something is deemed, quote-unquote, infrequent, which usually means abnormal or suspicious, end quote. So if something unusual happens on the computer screen, something that, you know, this computer program has never seen before, something this computer program has never been programmed with in the first place, alarms will sound and people will be, authorities will be summoned, and persons perhaps who are innocent of things will now be, of course, interrogated and prosecuted, presumably, as well. Very interesting stuff. It goes on. Rather than going down the route of facial recognition technology, the program tries to keep it simple by comparing any number of situations and actions that would be captured by a camera with an empty background. By using an algorithm to tell the normal from the abnormal, the software is able to alert a security guard if it deems something to be out of the ordinary. So now that security guard, folks, that was 95% inattentive after 22 minutes, is now 100% inattentive because they've got a computer program to tell them when to wake up from their nap and go check something out. You feel safer, don't you? It says a person standing close to the edge of a train platform might not necessarily be an immediate suicide risk, but the program is able to track that person and evaluate the amount of time they've been there, and so constantly monitor the situation. So if you're standing there at the train platform close to the edge for too long, you are a suicide risk, and you will be presumably arrested. I feel safer already. Stay with us, folks. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, talking about this story which came out on the 26th, CNN, and we're talking about security cameras, smart security cameras. It says in the UK there is approximately one surveillance camera for every 14 people, and issues of invading civil liberties surround ever new development in our society today. One advantage of the new technology is that it is less invasive than facial recognition software. Civil liberties groups have criticized technology that searches for particular people, as it brings with it fears of profiling and of being watched regardless of whether anything illegal is being committed or not. There is still some way to go before a smart camera can tell the difference between details such as a handshake and a punch, but Velastin believes that they're not too far away. Oh, wow. This camera cannot... It's a smart camera. It cannot tell the difference between a handshake and a punch, but it's a smart camera. This is from the No Cameras Left Behind Act, no doubt. the definition of smart is not being able to tell the difference between a handshake and a punch. So if you go around shaking people's hands, you're going to look like a mass attacker. You're going to be out there, security guards are going to be running down. You're not allowed to shake people's hands, but I'm a politician. Well, then you're definitely a criminal. You're coming with us. The story goes on. High-definition smart cameras are also being developed in the United States by Interact Public Safety Systems. Hooray! This is very exciting. Their system is digital, which means that any dubious-looking activity can be watched remotely from handheld devices or via the Internet. That's even more exciting. Digital cameras, smart cameras, here in the U.S., which will be able to remotely be watched from handheld devices or via the Internet. So, and you've got, of course, there will be no abuses of this power, just like there were no abuses of the national security letters or the Patriot Act provisions in any capacity. But when they install these smart cameras and they put them up, let's say, in the Walmart parking lot or something, and you've got various people just zooming in on maybe some attractive-looking gals who are walking by, maybe dressed scantily because it's very warm outside, and they can, of course, watch this remotely from, you know, their telephones, their cell phones, and watching it on the Internet, on their computers. And, of course, they would only do that to constantly stay on the clock, right? It's preposterous. Absolutely ridiculous. These things are supposed to make us safer. You know, these are voyeur cameras. That's all it is. And they have adult websites for that sort of thing, and you can pay for it and subscribe. But if you work in the security industry, if you work in law enforcement, you can get it for free. Lucky you. With the application of these smart cameras, ranging from spotting crimes or handshakes on the high street or traffic violations to keeping children safe at school. Oh, God, there it goes. Children safe at school. Broadcast digitally on the Internet and to handheld devices. There's not going to be any pedophiles in the security or law enforcement industry who are watching those things, are they? Of course not. The issue, it says, or who decides what is deemed suspicious comes into focus. Now, said Velastin, the guy who's developing this computer software program over there in the UK, he said, quote, prejudices could be built into rule-based programs that have instructions on what should be spotted. There are elements of profiling in this and the possibility for abuse, end quote. So he's very upfront and honest about it. He just says quite simply, yeah, there's going to be profiling. You program it to profile. You can make these smart cameras smart racist cameras if you'd like. Hey, there's a person with dark skin. They're a terrorist. You program the computer to do that every time. He goes on to CNN, quote, but I'm into this because I'm socially minded and believe that what we're doing is creating technology that gives us a better chance to police properly. It is hard to do an audit trail of what someone does in a control room with this technology. There is less chance for abuse. So, end quote, of course. So, in essence, what he's saying here is that the security guards will be able to be monitored better. So, the surveillance will be for your protection, of course, and that's how they always couch these things. But, you know, in essence, the surveillers will be surveilled by the amount of attention that they give certain issues, right? So, if somebody, security guard, is taking a nap, as Thomas is wont to do during the program here, then the computer program will signal a sound and say, wake up, it's time to do your job. And if they sleep through this computer program warning them of rampant handshakes going on in the subway, then you know, they'll know that the security guard did not respond, and they'll know that he shouldn't be paid or should be fired or something like that. So that's the abuse that is going to be less likely. Whew, I'm relieved by that. He also said this, quote, in society, we have to make a judgment of how far we want to be watched and how much we want to feel protected, end quote. Well, that's also a very honest answer, but let's go on to what he says. Velastin believes the technology could provide a solution to caring for the elderly moving from public spaces into our homes, saying, quote, I wouldn't want someone watching me through a video camera 24 hours a day, but I might feel okay if a computer or a robot was doing it. Given the choice, what would you rather? End quote. So he turns the tables on CNN and said, hey, CNN, would you want to be watched 24 hours a day by a person? Or would you rather be watched by a computer or a robot? Well, that's a very nice set of options you're giving me there, Mr. Velastin. Obviously, I choose neither. Why has it only got to be two? I don't want a computer, robot, or a person watching me. I choose none. None of the above. Caring for the elderly. Yes, let's monitor the elderly. Sure. You know, hey, if somebody wants this, that's fine. But the point is, folks, is he's talking about a technology, a smart technology, that's going to monitor you 24 hours a day. Well, we know that the attention span of a security guard or somebody watching a monitor decreases by 95% after 22 minutes. A computer program that cannot differentiate what is a handshake and what is a punch will be watching you 24 hours a day. Which one do you feel safer with? Somebody who's relatively inattentive or somebody that is attentive and complete and total idiocy governs your programming? What would you rather? I choose neither. The point is, folks, again, security, convenience, safety. That's what it's all about. And that's how they sort of propose and implement all these things. Well, if you thought that one was bad, you're going to crap your pants when you hear this one. Tuesday, February 20th of this year, and this can be found at tgdaily.com. Terrorists better put on their makeup because European researchers are developing small cameras which will be mounted in the backs of airline seats. The cameras will profile suspicious movements and then transfer the information up to pilots and authorities. But it doesn't stop there. Microphones would also record speech. So, in essence, you know when people go on vacation, they go to San Francisco, and they say, you know what, let's go to Alcatraz. That'll be fun, right? Let's go visit a prison. Fun! This will be a great time for the whole family. Let's go to prison. So they go to Alcatraz and they view all these things and they hear the stories and the tour guides go through the thing. I've never been and I probably would go. But the point is that you're paying money and you can see what prison's like, right? They stick you in the cells, they close the doors and they walk away for a few minutes. And then after a few minutes of nervous laughter, they come back and they free you. And then you're like, good thing I'm not locked up in here. Why would I want to pay to be treated like a criminal? Ding, ding, ding. Hello. That's the entire airline industry. They treat you like criminals. Do they really think people are going to be buying tickets for this? This is outrageous. So you're going to have a camera in the seat in front of you, monitoring your movements, recording your speech. Now that's, of course, if you even get on the airline. Never mind the whole profiling thing. Never mind the whole security thing. Never mind the pat down, the strip search, and all the other shenanigans they're going to put you through before you get on that plane. Never mind the fact that it's going to be delayed. Never mind the fact that once you get on the plane, it's not going to be able to take off. It's got to sit there, and you're cramped up. Your knees are pushed up against your chest. If it's summertime, of course, it's super mega hot in there because they don't have any air conditioning, and they can't open the vents and really do anything as far as air circulation until they're up in the air. Okay? And if it's in... So that's going to take a while as you're sitting there extraordinarily uncomfortable, sweating, and you can't get out of your seat. If it's wintertime, you get the distinct pleasure of being able to taxi out there, getting ready to take off, and then having to turn around and go back because they have to de-ice the plane. And that may go on several times. So all of these fun experiences aside, when you land at your connection place where you have to get off your plane and get on another plane, you get the distinct pleasure of going through all of that garbage again as you go through security and you go through checkpoints and you get strip searched and you get patted down. Then you get back on the plane and you get monitored by a new airline camera and recorded by a new airline microphone. This is fantastic. Fun, fun, fun. So in the time it takes to maybe drive 12 hours, you can be dealing with being treated like a criminal for 12 hours, and it's going to cost you the low price of about $1,000. Doesn't that sound like fun? Doesn't that sound like a good time for the whole family? Absolutely not. It does not. It's still not going to stop people from doing it. Flying is just not convenient anymore. It's never been really all that safe. And at the same time, now you get the pleasure of being treated like a criminal. So for all the little children who get patted down and searched as they get on airplanes, and they do that, and all the old grannies and things like that, but it's the kids really in particular. The kids grow up thinking this is how it's always been. The kids grow up thinking this is what it takes to make me feel safe. The kids grow up thinking this is normal. Now, we've already talked about this. When Bush leaves office and we get a new president, undoubtedly Hillary Clinton, undoubtedly at the very least a Democrat, nothing's going to change. The Democrats will campaign on this. Our troops need to be out of Iraq. Yeah, well, by the time the next president rolls in, our troops will be out of Iraq, and they'll be in some other country, no doubtedly. So you've got this situation where you know, they promise one thing and they promise something else. But the war on terror is 100% agreed upon by all the political parties and by everybody that has any sort of potential to be the president of the United States. Which means the war on terror will not end because they haven't achieved their objective. And what is their objective? Who knows? We can speculate, we can theorize, but we know for a fact that to actually beat terror, to stomp out terrorism and terroristic activities, it cannot be done. Cannot be done. Not at all. As a result of that, we know that it will never end, and we know that no Democrat, no Republican will ever end this thing, which means that if they keep it going for, you know, a couple of decades, which they will, they call it the Long War, remember? If they keep it going for a while, then the kids are going to grow up knowing no different. This is going to be standard operating procedure. And if they ever said, we're going to stop doing the shoe removal at the airport, those kids who flew their whole lives are now going to be scared because they're saying, what? How can you not check shoes? You've always checked shoes, and we haven't had any problems, and now you're going to stop checking shoes? Got to check shoes. Here, have my shoes. Pat me down, strip search me, whatever it is. As long as we're safe, we can't back away from all these great security measures that have been in place since 2001, and they've obviously kept us safe. We got to keep doing this. There's no way. I object. And then, of course, social engineering would be on display and completely and totally poison the minds of the kids about these things. Very important point. So anyway, back to the story that I started an hour ago, tgdaily.com, which came out February 20th. It goes on. British and German scientists from the Onboard Threat Detection System project are working on the system that could give early warning about airline hijackers. Nervous movements like rapid blinking and constantly looking around would be detected, and the passenger would then be profiled against the aircraft's passenger list. What? You're going to profile the passenger against the passenger list? Doesn't the passenger list mean that people are on the plane and they went through all the security checkpoints and therefore they're on the plane? So matching out the person in the seat with the person who's supposed to be in that seat, with the person who paid for the ticket, went through the security, you're going to spend all of this this computing power matching that up. How safe is that? Because they've been blinking or nervously looking around. You ever see anybody on a plane not look around? Maybe they get their elbow smashed by the cart as it goes down the really, really tiny aisle with the cart that fits exactly there between those two things, and your elbow gets smashed by the cart. Or maybe you're looking out the window because it's a cool view. Or maybe you're looking out the window because you heard something. Or maybe you've had a lot of turbulence, so you just happen to look. Oh, he's looking around. Profile. And, of course, you know, when you decide that you're singing along to your favorite, you know, music, and, you know, then you've got pilots and security personnel watching your video of you doing some, like, karaoke, a cappella, they're just going to, you know, laugh, and that's going to make it onto the internet, and you're just going to be, everyone's going to look at you and say, what a dork! Anyway, it goes on, while recorded video and sound seems great, how do you sort through the stuff, it says, to get meaningful data? Supposedly, the system would have sophisticated software that would distinguish between a true terrorist and a plain old nervous passenger. Well, that's encouraging, probably based on the same technology and the smart cameras over there in the UK that cannot differentiate a handshake and a punch. It says it is unclear if the pilots would be able to watch the passenger if they would just receive a computer warning message. Okay, so that means that the pilots have no way to interject human analyses into these computer assessments, which means the computer would be like, oh, we've got a terrorist in seat B and seat A and seat C and seat D and seat E, all in row two. And you're like, wait, huh? Seems unlikely. And every single row after that. Because you got somebody who's got gas, and somebody who feels a little sick, and somebody who's got a bad kid, and somebody who's pregnant, somebody who just lost their job, and somebody who just broke up with their boyfriend or girlfriend before they got on the plane, and somebody else who's terrified of flying, and they're all terrorists. So the pilot, of course, not, you know, they don't have anything to do anyway, right? They're not something, they're flying the plane. They're going to have to go run back and make sure. Excuse me, sir, are you a terrorist? No. Okay, just checking. Thank you. Story goes on. The project is also trying to ease any privacy fears, and according to Mrs. Neary, the team leader of the project, who apparently has no first name, audio and video would be destroyed after each flight according to the Data Protection Act. Well, that's a relief, because as long as Mrs. Neary said that all the video and audio will be destroyed, then that makes it so. She says it, and her will be done. It says the embedded cameras and microphones is just a small part of the project's overall goal of increasing airline safety. Researchers are also looking into explosive sensors and ways of locking out terrorists from the airplane's cockpit. Wow! We need to get some R&D money on this problem right quick. How in God's name do we keep terrorists out of the cockpit? How do we lock them out? We have to figure out a way to somehow lock this door. We have to lock out the terrorists from getting in here, hijacking the plane, and beating the pilots to pulp and taking control. If only we had a way to lock the door. How could we lock them out? We need to research this. We need to divert hundreds of millions of dollars, or in this case, the UK, pounds, to this very, very important problem of how to somehow lock out the terrorists from the airplane cockpits. If they can't figure out what a lock is for, then these smart cameras and smart audio recorders are not going to do anything. But keep in mind, folks, these little technologies and whatnot are going to be mandated by the government, therefore have to be purchased by the airlines, who, of course, will have to pass on the cost to you, who, of course, will then go bankrupt because nobody wants to fly, and then the government will bail them out with your money. Welcome to America. Stay with us back in three.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. Tail end of hour number two. I'm glad you're with us. Certainly enjoying all of our news here this evening. I am, anyway. Here's another. If you could consider these news stories to be reasons why you should maybe move out of the UK, here's another one for you. Came out on the 27th. You can find this at dailymail.co.uk. All children could face compulsory checks to discover if they are at risk of turning into criminals, the Prime Minister announced today. The controversial proposal came as part of a wide-ranging review of crime and security policy published by 10 Downing Street. It said that the checks could take place at existing important stages in a child's life, such as the move from primary to secondary school. The government's plan to prevent crime said, quote, establish universal checks throughout a child's development to help service providers to identify those most at risk of offending. These checks should piggyback on existing contact points such as the transition to secondary schools, end quote. So presuming that they, and of course I'm not going to say this, presuming that they have the ability to discern the future and discover if children are at risk of turning into criminals, they can maybe imprison you preemptively. I mean, we cause wars preemptively. We preemptively strike various countries and kill people. Why would we not preemptively imprison children? Well, why not? There's no discernible reason not to, because there's no ethics involved here. There's no compassion. There's no common sense. It goes on, the document did not outline at what age the checks would begin, nor did it detail whether police or probation officers would be involved in the process. It is also unclear whether the checks would involve a personal interview with the child or if it would simply comprise a review of school and police records. Hooray! They don't even need to talk to you. You got to talk to them and convince them that you need that RFID embedded driver's license. But, you know, to figure out in the UK if your kid might turn into a criminal, they just need to look at the records. Other proposals set out in the policy review included extending the police's ability to seize non-cash assets from criminals such as plasma screen televisions, jewelry, and laptop computers. That's right. That's your police officer's bonus. Well, we can't afford a raise, but why don't you go ahead and take that plasma screen TV home to the wife and kids because you did such a great job busting those non-terrorists. Thanks. Encouraging businesses to make their products crime-proof, such as introducing fingerprint activation on MP3 players, such as iPods, because those devices are partly behind a rise in street crime. So you now are going to need an iPod that accepts your fingerprint to allow you and only you to use it, or anybody else that you authorize, which means, of course, that the iPod is going to cost more, which means that cost will be passed on to you. And keep in mind, it says encouraging businesses. Now they'll happily jump on board. And developing technology could also lead to the introduction of crowd scanners able to detect bombs, the use of automatic facial recognition software to spot criminals on closed-circuit television images. The review also appeared to advocate further expansion of the DNA database when it suggested including, quote, all suspected offenders who come into contact with the police. All suspected offenders. You don't even have to. You just have to come into contact with police. They'll just run around there stabbing you with little diabetes needles taking your DNA samples. Of course, I'm joking, but it's not too far from that. Stay with us, my friends. We're back after this brief station identification for our affiliates with more Frankly Speaking Radio.